Oh, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night. It is the Fakeologist Show, Monday, February the 2nd, 2026, 8:01 p.m. We started at 8 o'clock, as we do every Sunday through Thursday, approximately. And tonight, we rejigged our schedule again in accommodating Tim Osman. He's not able to come on tonight. Sorry about that. Well, he's got a job. So he has a job to do.
He's got a job.
He has a job.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, I know. You need it to eat in this world. So apparently he wants to eat. So he's not on tonight. Frank, as always, is accommodating. So he accommodated us. And he moved to Monday. And no, Tim Osman now, Monday and Wednesday, he works. So I moved him to tomorrow. Tuesday. So Frank will be Mondays if he still wants to do it. And CSL, who is sort of coming along as well, he's out of action as well. So I don't know if he'll ever rejoin us again. Maybe, maybe not. So there's that. Anyway, so that's what's happening. That's the latest and greatest. So that's the schedule change. And if you go to fakeologist.com/live, you should see our schedule. And where is it? Where is it anyway? Let me find it here. Around here somewhere, Frank. I know it is. That's Frank laughing there in the background. Here we go. So here's February. See how Frank, the salt guy, is on Tuesday? I don't know why it's dark blue. I must have done something wrong. And so this calendar, you can add it to your own calendar by clicking this plus sign. There is no way to scroll to the next month, apparently. So it's another flaw in the Google calendar system. Kate Emma says, thanks for stepping up. It's always a good show when you're here, Frank.
Well, thank you, Kate Emma.
Well, we better make it a good one.
I think the last time I said your name, it was Katima.
Katima. Yeah, I think it's two names.
It is. I'm sure it's two names.
Well, all right. So we can talk about silver. We like.
Well, I just thought I would do a very quick pricey. Mm-hmm. Because as people may or may not be aware, the
we like price of silver, here.
The price of silver, really, literally went parabolic or even vertical in January. And then the idea was that the whole thing was collapsing and et cetera.
Well, it did and crash on Friday. That was a crash.
Well, it's interesting. As I was saying, it's a crash in, as I think I also said, that in what I call the paper market. There wasn't actually any silver traded. It was all contracts going backwards and forwards. And the evidence for that is simply that even now, the price is still, if I convert it back to US, you'll see that the price is still 82, 83. So it's gone up $3 today, but it's still down at that level that it crashed to from like 122. So a $40 drop.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at, okay, it's up now and after my. I use the SLV symbol, which is the Silver Trust ETF.
Yeah, so that's the paper stuff that I'm talking about. That's the stuff that gets manipulated all over the place. Okay. It's the paper markets that are getting the push and shove. But if I compare the current Australian price with what I at the place where I buy stuff from, you'll see that the price, let me make that bigger, is for 100 ounces, effectively $153 per ounce compared to 118. So what's that, $35? That is the largest gap I've ever seen.
Okay.
So if you want to actually buy the stuff, you are not paying anything like those prices. You cannot get silver for the prices they're talking about there.
Okay.
They're selling a 1 ounce silver coin here, minted in Australia, for $156 compared to $118. So that's near as $40.
Mm-hmm.
So while the SLVs and so on obviously are being hammered all over the place, the people that physically hold the silver haven't experienced any loss at all.
Right. Yeah. What was that price on Friday though, before it crashed? These retail prices would have
been... as I showed you, even on Friday, the retail price didn't drop at all.
So they didn't. Okay, so they didn't budge. So I don't know how responsive they normally are to the.
Well, no. As I said, normally there is a whatever that price is showing there on Kitco, which is a COMEX price, and this price here, these prices are just in line with that price, but the gap is what has really now.
Well, I would call that just volatility. They're just leaving the prices high because I guess now that they're thrashing around, they don't want to be caught with their pants down, so they just leave a premium on top.
Sure.
Until things calm down.
That's one explanation. I think the more likely explanation is that the supply chain is disrupted. The refineries are not able
to
keep up.
Well, they don't respond instantly. The spot market is an instant market, so...
And the COMEX up for deliveries, I think it might be today, et cetera, was at some phenomenal number of ounces that has never been seen before.
It's really interesting. Yeah, today the silver futures are up 9%. But is that over the last... Does it trade...
That must have been just in a day.
Well, it's still... Yeah, it's 18:38 Central Time. And now it's... what time is it? Well, it's 19:08 Central Time. So maybe they closed a half hour ago. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be live trading right now.
Anyway, it's very interesting to me.
I don't trade silver futures, so I don't know. I just trade the ETF. It's just easier for me right now. I don't trade futures.
Well, anyway, I think that market, the paper silver market, the ETFs and so on that you're in, I think, as TuneXus says, I think it's a mirage.
Yeah, he says they're short a billion ounces.
There's the evidence that I'm presenting to you just out of interest for people that may be interested. If you're going to buy silver, I'd suggest you buy stuff you can hold in your hand. This is not financial advice.
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested in
that. That was it. Yeah. That's look, I just think there is obviously stuff going on with money in general. And it's always been a topic of interest to me about how, things like the Federal Reserve and so on work. And we talked about the debts the other day. I wonder if the Chinese government is in debt. I think the Chinese government is even in debt.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Oh, they're huge. They're way up there.
I know the local. I know their provincial governments are a ridiculous amounts of debt.
Mm-hmm.
According to the International Monetary Fund, general government debt amounted to 77% in GDP in 2022. So, who do they owe the money to?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, other than that, we don't really have a topic tonight.
We don't have a topic.
We're kind of flat-footed. Things are actually pretty slow on the PSYOP world. That's for darn sure. And even my blog is really slowed down. I don't really look at the numbers too much, but occasionally I glance and things are way down. So I guess the interest in our topics is way down. And I know I don't put a whole hell of a lot on the blog these days. it's mainly just putting up these radio shows that we're doing, these audio chats and this show here. So, yeah, things are pretty darn slow.
But it's interesting, though, Tim, I'm talking about for me personally, the topics that you've raised here have altered my life so dramatically. For example, I watched an old movie the other day.
Okay.
And all I could see were trannies. All I could see was Adam's apples to the wazoo.
Yeah. For better or for worse.
For better, for really long necks, big Adam's apples, and women wearing things around their necks like chokers or so on. It's hilarious.
What movie were you watching?
It'll come to me. I'm having a blanket.
What inspired you to watch it?
I've just been watching old Cary Grant movies and, you know, Doris Day movies.
Well, that sounds fun.
They're just a bit more enjoyable. Oh, I watched Brigadoon. That was the one. I watched Brigadoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I watched Brigadoon is, I think, as I've told you, I think that we're in the last part of the biblical story where the heavenly Jerusalem descends, etc. And there is talk that the, you know, in the world that I inhabit, that the camp of the saints has been, if you like, covered over after the 1,000 years had passed. And I think the story of Brigadoon, the film Brigadoon, is a kind of parallel to that story. Brigadoon's a town that comes every 100 years and then disappears in the clouds.
Okay.
And then Jinder Lee is talking about fake assassination attempts, etc. All of those things have profoundly impacted on me. And Pete Shea is in the audience. Hi, Pete. Long time no read.
Yeah, Pete Shea, come on into the shortfake.com restream studio if you want. Come on.
That would be great if you would come in, Pete. I would love to talk to you.
Yeah.
I think your dodo model is obviously correct.
Oh, wow. Now you're speaking his language. We can go look on Drudge.
Oh, do you know that he is saying that the dodo is the shape of the flat earth? Yeah? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, too? I think I heard him say that.
I just think it's brilliant. It looks like a dodo. Oh, that's all I see now when I look at that flat earth map is that dodo. And it's all Peter's fault. He's blocked me out. Peter's also a fan of the, you know, the idea that surnames are a scam, the birth certificate's a scam.
Here's the real story, at least in North America.
Well, you are, what temperature are you, minus something crazy?
Well, I don't know if this is let me see what the actual temperature is here. I know people are probably sick of me talking about the weather. It's only -6 here right now, so I don't know what this is. This isn't an accurate map. Well, this says it's okay, that's the feels like temperature. This is some other temperature map here. So it's only -6 right now, but the real story is Florida. It's cold. Yeah. These are the feel like temperatures, but the absolute.
I heard it snowed in Florida.
Wait, let me turn off the feels like. I don't like this.
Peter's not going to join us some other time. I hope he does. Hope you do, Pete.
Okay, let's look at the actual temperature. Okay, that's better. Yeah, the actual temperature, it's not that, it's not as bad today, but look at Florida. It was really cold down there all day. So this is North America. It's pretty cold.
Wow.
Oh, I missed the call. Sorry, I didn't see the call coming in. Here we go. Got a caller in her.
Hold time, 1 minute, 19 seconds.
Caller in her, where are you calling from? What's your name? Or what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Willard from Florida.
Willard from Florida? Hey, we're just talking about Florida.
Yes, I caught that.
Is it cold down there?
Yes, sir. Last night I got in the mid-20s.
So what do you do down there?
Have the balls fallen off the brass monkey?
I don't know anything about that. You cover up the pipes and let the water run, and that's about it. You know, cover plants, you know, let your animals in.
Right. So yeah. That's the most dramatic thing you have to do there is keep the water running.
Right. You got to watch your pipes from freezing because they're not, you know, they're not used to this type of weather.
I don't think if it's just at freezing, pipes will freeze. It's got to be minus 10 at least Celsius for it to actually freeze. It takes a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think just because it's zero out, your pipes are going to freeze. It's got to get quite a bit colder and stay that way for a while. As far as I know. As far as I know. I could be wrong.
I'll take your word for it. Mm-hmm. We survived a couple of times. I had a couple of topics.
Go ahead.
Did y'all hear Erica Kirk at a Turning Point convention setting up a recreation of the pop-up tent where Charlie got assassinated?
That was a photo booth. They turned it into a photo booth.
What's y'all's thoughts about that?
Well, my thought is that she's as far away from being a grieving widow as you can get. And nobody seems to care or notice, or I guess people do notice, but nobody really cares. I think the fatigue of all this fakery is just, it's just best to ignore it. But yeah, it's clear that she's nothing as we are told. She's not a woman. She's not a wife. I think she popped up on a real estate agent site, and she's just a really bad actress. And the whole story is BS.
And wasn't she one of Donald Trump's girls? Wasn't she in one of his pageants?
No, I think she was Miss Arizona. I don't think he does Arizona.
Okay.
So it's real bad, Willard, real bad.
Yeah.
What are you looking at these days, Willard? What sites do you look at to just really
tell you? I try to stay away from everything because I just see big picture and I don't get hooked on the details. You know?
Yeah, that's probably wise.
And occasionally I'll take a look at something like that ice shooting, and that's about it. The inversion, I had a picture I sent Mr. E, or I can't remember who it was, but of Keira Knightley as an adult. And last time Mr. E was on, he kind of got bogged down with the callers about, well, what happens when they're young, you know, how, you know, if you're a boy, everybody tells your girl, what do you do? Frank, I was wondering what your thoughts on this, because I think, I might lose my audience here, but you know how Mr. E says that this is part of the Near Eastern pagan religion, Mystery Babylon, or
not
a character.
Well, the Kadesh, they called, you know, like the Kardashians.
Right. Yeah. Well, back in the mid 90s, I did research into this idea of they raise children with dissociative identity disorder, purposely conditioned to create that in them. So that, as he said, if you say to Taylor Swift, you know, you're a girl. Well, if that's an altar that was created when they were young, they'll swear up and down that, you know, they're a girl. And to be honest with you, I at the time I was interested, I saw some indicators of stuff. You'll see the movies like Raising Cain and The Butterfly Effect, this technique. But I actually met somebody who was raised that way and had that multiple personality. And that's what when I realized it's a reality. And in fact, I was wondering if you had ever.
I'm going to give you my personal experience of dissociation. I, as a, you know, in my early adulthood, would often get incredibly angry, and I would end up in a fight or something with someone, and I could almost, and I was very, I could sense in myself the dissociation, Willard, where I would almost be watching myself arguing with this person and wondering why was I feeling no emotion, but, you know, there's all this yelling and expression going on. And, you know, it would lead to terrible results. And in my, as I've talked to this about many times, but since I started saying the Lord's Prayer, that dissociation and anger has completely vanished. So my view is when these guys talk about the dissociation being a psychological thing, I actually think it's a, I've now have the view that it's a demonic, you know, one of the demons has jumped into that person, and they people can have several demons, and they now call that dissociation. But I think it's just another sneaky attack by demons, which I think are a genuine thing.
Well, it's interesting you frame it that way, because this fellow I met, that's how he framed things. He, it was really odd. At the first day I met him at my job, it was, I'd never encountered him before, and he told me how when he was young, he was afraid to go to bed because Charlie Brown would come into his dreams, and then
right.
these masons in top hats would take him and, you know, tell him to look at the ceiling fan, and he would float up, and they would teach him things.
So, you know, so like that top hat thing apparently is a very common thing, Willard, and I have a book called The Nephilim Look Like Clowns by something Stubbs. Paul Stubbs, and he's very, he talks about that top hat ringmaster thing often.
Yeah, he told me that after he had been trained a while, they took him to a auditorium where he was, actually, he said it was like a stage where he was behind a curtain and then presented. The fellows had top hats, and there was like this elite dinner party, and he demonstrated what he had learned.
Yeah.
And people can think of the Wizard of Oz, of how that the girl went to another land, but really she didn't go anywhere, and those are her friends dressed in costumes. You know, she's an associate to the state.
Yep.
And it's part of this technology, or you know, when they're craft, when they're growing up, that's how in these families these people live. You know, they just represented in movies, and that can explain how you could have somebody inverted and they're convinced that they're a boy or a girl. And allegedly the intelligence agencies wanted to learn about this, because if you have a spy with an altar, you could torture them, but they would never give up a secret because they're not aware of the other altar, was the idea behind it.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the work of Fritz Springmeier?
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about him.
Okay. I mean, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, he was all the rage, wasn't he?
Yeah. What happened to him? Is he still alive?
Yeah, look, there is a website. What was that guy's website that he was on all the time? How could I forget that? Oh,
there's a website.
Lucas is on the call. Lucas, hello. Say hi to Willard and Frank.
Hey, good evening.
Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Very good.
What do you think about all this crazy demonic talk?
Well, I agree with it a lot. You know, I'm a Catholic myself, so, you know, we believe in demons and things like that. I know, I guess Tim Osman, he's the normal guest on Mondays. I guess he's a little more skeptical of it, but, I have no doubt about it in my mind.
I must say, from my point of view, I treat all these things as models. Right, their ideas, their ways of conceptualizing what's going on. I can only report to the listeners that from my point of view, the use of saying the Lord's Prayer and asking for that kind of assistance has totally mitigated the psychological troubles that I've had and other people that I know of.
Yeah, there's a pretty interesting guy named Jerry Marzinski. He was 100%.
He is a genius.
You know,
just to explain to people
who don't know who he is, he's like a psychologist that he got fed up with, as he calls it, the psychiatric mafia that they dictate how you can treat patients with schizophrenia and people that are hearing voices and stuff. And basically he entertained the idea that these voices are real, they're not hallucinations. And one of the patterns he noticed was that when he was working at these mental institutions, whatever they would say, Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer or things along those lines, voices would get very agitated.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting because he himself is not like a churchgoer, I don't think. But, you know, he notices patterns. So it's an interesting perspective considering the stuff we're forced to believe, which is that, you know, we just live in this materialist universe and there's no such thing as spirits or things that you can't prove with quote unquote science. And so I find that very fascinating.
Well, I think it's part of the deception. I think we live in the time of deception. But this, one of the practical uses for me recently, in fact, over the weekend, we took my granddaughter camping. And if she started to go into a kind of a, you know, how children can have a tantrum, I would, you know, recite the Lord's Prayer mentally, you know, in my head. I didn't speak it out loud. But as soon as I did that, she calmed down. Two or three times that happened. I didn't do anything outwardly. I just simply asked the Heavenly Father for protection from demonic influence. And her tantrum just stopped, just vanished. At least twice while I was away over the weekend.
Frank, the other day, Mark Devlin.
Yeah, that Mark Devlin was on Sunday. We did a doubleheader yesterday. What did you think of the show?
It was great. And
thanks to Anna.
It was this fellow that I met. He told me this back in the 90s about how rap lyrics and rock lyrics, he says that what happens is it gets in people's minds, you know, they call them earworms or whatever, where you're repeating the lyrics in your head.
Yeah.
And he says that invites these forces in, you know, these people.
Yeah.
you'll be pressed because the act of will on your part is inviting them in, and that these lyrics are crafted a certain way to, you know, fuel the process, accelerate it.
Yeah. Well, this is a particular favorite topic of Rick.
Yeah. Rick was on, of course.
I'm talking about esoteric, I should say.
Yeah. Well, he was called Rick on the show. He didn't want to be called esoteric.
Okay, so he was on the Devlin show. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, he was on. He did a good job. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. I'll have to listen to it. So, yeah, this is the talk about rap music and so on. I have heard that several times. Again, I think these models are very useful. You know, I don't think – I guess one of the things I like about these ideas is that the word belief, in my opinion, means to behave as if it was true, not necessarily to have an irrational view. The original word, my understanding, the original meaning of the word that we translate as belief was to behave as if something is true. And to do that really means just testing the model. And I can only go on ad nauseum that if people are in trouble and they've got no other alternatives, you know, I can only recommend asking the Heavenly Father for a supernatural intervention and see if that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So far I've found 100% success rate. But any other comments from the other caller winners?
Hey, I wanted to say I just want to say, Willard, I really liked you called in the other week about Michael Hoffman, and you were wondering if he was paid by, I can't remember, what did you say, Saudi Arabia or Muslims or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did you know he goes and speaks at like a Nation of Islam gathering, even though he's like a, I don't know what he is, like a Protestant or something like that, but he was kind of my, one of my original introductions to quote unquote conspiracy thinking. And he's a very good thinker, but yeah, it does make me wonder, like, why is he speaking at this weird black Muslim, I don't know what to call them, but they're kind of a weird group of people.
He was my introduction way back in the late 80s. He is a Roman Catholic, and I've written to him several times, and the last time, he's a suspicious character, in my opinion, because he writes about psychological operations, and I wrote on his blog about this fellow that got shot 7 times in the back with a .223 rifle and ran a quarter mile and climbed a fence and all this. And I said, you know, do you believe that this is in a Colorado Q Club shooting? I said, and then I posted a picture of the Aurora Theater where there's no blood in this. And, you know, he believes this stuff is real, you know, that these shootings are real. And I said, how can you believe this is real when it has these preposterous elements to it? And he just dismissed me out of hand. I just find him suspicious. And originally he was black in the cause of Zionism. And I thought, why is this guy always beating his drum? And as you say, now he's with Farrakhan. So how do you make a living? He had 8 children. How do you make a living publishing these newsletters in Idaho? You know?
Yeah, that's the same. I had a similar experience with E. Michael Jones. I like the guy a lot. I think he has a lot of great knowledge. But I'm thinking, like, yeah, he thinks all these things are real. That's kind of why I tune him out nowadays. Like, he was a very formative in my initial digging into these kind of subjects. And then he just started saying, you know, oh yeah, well, you know, like basically believe everything at face value with these news stories. You gotta be kidding me. And like, there's so much nonsense going on with these shootings or whatever. So I it really does make you wonder about some of these so-called truth tellers.
Yeah, and they're lauded as critical thinkers. And how can you be a critical thinker in some of these situations when you really look at the evidence? And then when he gets mixed up with, what's his name in Canada? Zundel. He wrote the book about Ernst Zundel. And you think about the things that Phil says about that situation, Dave Irving, really makes you wonder about these guys.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. If your people have read him, he's real interesting, but I don't think he's legit. I just thought he's real suspicious. A suspicious guy. Frank, there's something else to ask. I just forgot it. Give me a second here.
All right.
If I could give some other praise, I really like the show, Frank and Tim, that you guys did with CSL. Maybe was that 2 weeks ago about population control?
Yeah,
I thought that was a great.
Thank you, Lucas. Subject. That's very kind of you. Thank you, Lucas, and thanks Boris for donating $2 the other day. I appreciate Boris. He's a regular here in the comments, so thank you.
I think it's a very important subject because I look at my generation. I guess I'm considered a millennial, but okay. Most of my friends don't have kids or families, and so I'm every time one of my friends finally gets married, like they're about to start up a family, it makes you very happy, whereas in the past that was just kind of a thing people did without even thinking about it.
It's a huge problem. Hey, we got John the Beggar on the line. And John, I'm not gonna play your music tonight. I just thought I'll bring it right on.
Oh, okay, that's all right. The Forex and the metal markets, they're all rigged with these paper contracts. The real price is a lot higher, and they just keep things down. And we've talked about the Great Lakes water supply, and people are now claiming that it's way down.
Oh wow!
I didn't know.
Well, I go to the. I walk towards the beach. It looks the same. Well, first of all, it's frozen.
True.
It's frozen at least probably 200 or 300 meters out now from the beach. So there's that.
Can people skate on it, Tim?
No, it's too rough. You need a very good surface to skate on.
Surface, a clean surface.
You need a skate on. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, when I went skating 2 weeks ago, after about an hour, all the skaters chop up all the ice. So we have this thing called a Zamboni that has to smooth the ice by melting the surface a couple and pouring water on it.
Okay.
So, hot water.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to chop up ice with blades. So no, you cannot skate on Lake Ontario. I wouldn't even walk on it, actually, because if you fell in, you'd be dead.
Definitely. Now, you say it's 6 degrees up there tonight?
-6. -6.
It's 24 here on the South Shore down by the Straits of Detroit.
That's the same.
24 degrees positive.
No, that's the same.
That's Fahrenheit, though, isn't it?
That's the same temperature, John. That's Fahrenheit. There is a conversion. I know you Americans don't think that. Nobody else speaks Fahrenheit in the entire world.
Except us.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll tell you, because it's balmy inside my apartment. It's 78 right now.
Yeah. It's been cold here for at least, I think, 2 or 3 weeks below freezing, which is pretty strange. So,
I feel compelled to bore you with the fact that the Fahrenheit scale is based on salty water. The freezing point in the Fahrenheit scale is the freezing point of saturated brine.
Okay, that makes more sense then. Why did they? I think we talked about this before.
Because at the time when that scale came in, your salty water and salting food, etc., was the number one job. People stored their eggs in salt and brine.
Okay.
And so it was all just a way of working out something important, because later on it became less important.
The most important mineral there is.
Without a doubt. No, out of doubt.
So they didn't want, they had to be careful not to freeze the salt water when it was around the food, because that would cause trouble. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. It would.
Yeah. Yep. So they wanted to make sure it stayed above salt water freezing. Okay. I got that. That makes sense. And that salt water freezes at what? -12?
At 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. What is that? -12 or something?
I'd have to do the calculation.
Well, I know this much. I had some great salt on my carrots tonight.
-17.7777.
And I salt them.
Yeah, the answer is -17.77777 Celsius. Yeah. So there you go. Lots of sevens.
Is that Freemasonic?
Well, it's something.
So we've been talking about all sorts of things. We've got digital currency on the way, according to PHA. I agree that is what all this is about. I think that this stuff going on with gold and silver is about bringing the digital currency in.
I don't think they're related, but I think it's just people scrambling to find something that's worth money and has some value, I think. But here's,
you know,
Tunax just tweeted to me as well. Over here on X, I guess he just did it now or yesterday. And he's talking about what you're talking about, I think, Frank.
Okay.
I was talking.
Someone's got a terrible line.
That's John the Beggar.
That's me. Okay. Well, I'll speak up. There was a lady I was talking to today, and she was talking about the singers at the Grammy Awards, the female ones, how you could almost see everything on them. And I asked her, were they really women? And like Frank was talking about watching these old movies and stuff, I think they've had trannies in front of us for many, many years.
I don't think it ever went away. It was always the way that theater was done. It still is done in Japan that way. The no theater. There are no women in no theater. And I am pretty confident that all of Elizabeth, in the Elizabethan times, there were no women on the stage then.
Probably not, but I look out there and there's just nothing anymore. I see so many trannies. I see some of them that years ago they were on stage and stuff, and now they're older. And some of these women have shoulders that I'm jealous of, and I don't think that's from shoulder pads.
No.
I don't think it is at all. And there's so many of them. It's just incredible how many of them there are.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
No, all right. John, you got to fix your phone line, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to let you guys go and I'll listen to you. Nice talking to you guys.
Thank you. We'll have to put your song back in post-production.
Bye, John.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that. I'm not doing that. Yeah, get your phone line fixed, or we got to work on that, John. Come on. Come on now, and or call in on your computer. Anyone can call in on the computer, shortfake.com/restream. Willard, you're still there?
Yes, sir. I remember now what I was going to ask you.
Go ahead.
I believe I was an unwitting participant in one of these drills that they have at a place that you work.
Okay.
And the way it was presented to everyone, it was presented as real. There was this threat. And then they went through the procedure for the threat and the evacuation. And the people involved believed it was real, but they picked up on the first responders and some of the supervisory personnel not being as upset or uptight or nervous as someone would be under a real situation. Well, afterwards, one of the leaders, when they spoke to us, they used equivocal language when they were talking to us. They said that there was a threat, but then it was not being credible. And it reminded me of when you and Frank both mentioned how they do things legally. You know, if you use equivocal language, you can't get pinned down one way or another. If y'all would speak on that.
Apparently the Freemasons call it masterful language.
Mm.
and one of the most experienced people at that I've seen on TV was when the first man to walk, Neil Armstrong, was being interviewed about the stars and all that sort of stuff. If you watch that, you'll hear him construct his words very, or his phraseology is very, you know, ambiguous. You know, he's going to a lot of effort to tell no lies.
Yeah, it was, they were being questioned, and it was almost as if the fella had been given a script to follow, because you couldn't pin him down one way or another. So depending on how you looked at it, it could be interpreted that it was a real threat and they were trying to make everybody safe and be real cautious, or it was a drill in response to a threat. And it just made me think of what you guys said about how when they do this stuff, it's done in a fashion that they won't break laws.
They won't break the law, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Equivocal language, like the Jesuits had when they were on trial.
Yeah.
In Judaism, they call it rabbinical pilpul, where, you know, it's like basically, that's why they make good lawyers, because they're able to argue these things in a way where it's like, well, I'm technically not lying at this. It's kind of like lying by omission, but you know, you're dancing around what's really going.
So what's that phrase in rabbinical tradition?
It's called pilpul, P-I-L-P-U-L.
Wow, that's a new one. I like it. Pilpul.
It was funny listening to the fellow talk, because you could tell it wasn't natural how he was talking. You know, it was, like I said, almost scripted. And if you had a recording of it, there's no way you could convict him one way or another of anything. I'm going to look at that in one of these next PSYOPs or whatever. I'm going to go to that Neil Armstrong that you mentioned, listen for it.
Well, I think this is a great description of it here. Pilpul, loosely meaning sharp analysis, is a method of studying the Talmud through intense textual analysis in attempts to either explain conceptual differences between various halakhic rulings or to reconcile any apparent contradictions presented from various readings of different texts. The word pill pull is entered in English as a colloquialism used to indicate extreme disputation or casuistic hair splitting.
And masterful language isn't a formal technical term. It usually means language. It means using language in a way that is unusually clear, precise, and powerful for a specific audience and goal. So it's nothing to do with the Masons.
Right.
According to this.
Okay.
Whatever it is, it's smoke and mirrors today.
Well,
dancing around the meter to something.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, another detail I learned in this event was it got let out that they did not have control over the media. So I thought that was interesting in that the media could report something and it could be in contradiction to what you experienced, and they'd have no communication or recourse to change it.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting detail that they had mentioned. And I said, well, there you go. You could have actually been, like, as you said so many times, you could have been at this event and at a different location, they say something happened and you didn't actually see it, but you were part of it. You swear up and down. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I was there. Saw all the excitement. You know, what they said on the news is true.
Yeah.
You know, So gave me the creeps. Like you said, Frank, if you listen to the fake allergist show, it makes you smart.
I've just found, you know, engaging with people such as yourself and the, you know, people on the chats, you just pick up so much. Like the pill pull we've just heard about, not aware of that before. But these are great models to help you pick apart what's going on, aren't they? You know, these.
Oh, yeah.
Provided you keep them in your mind, I think, as being a model and not, you know, the absolute truth, and you're not required to believe it, but, you know, entertain the thought. I find it very helpful. But the one that's really grabbed me is that John the Beggar was talking about before, watching the tranny fest go on in the movies and on, you know, the female singing the Kadesh thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real eye-opener. And yet very few people will accept the idea when I talk to them about it.
Well, hey, to be honest, it does sound kind of crazy, though, right? Like, it seems like a crazy concept. But something that's kind of similar is the idea that they would have these male comedians or these comedic actors would dress up like women a lot during these old productions. Like,
yeah.
You know, throughout the 60s and that. And I know, you know, Dave Chappelle,
but even
on the comedian, made a big deal out of that too.
But even when you say it sounds ridiculous, when you look at what was happening to fashion models and to the women trying to attain the shapes of the fashion models, that has been really destructive.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying I think it's ridiculous. I'm saying,
oh, okay.
To the average person, they're like, oh, what? No way, dude. You know, they would wave that off. But, and of course, yeah, you look at fashion. I mean, it's like gay guys, and you know, like, I don't know. I never fashion models. I guess maybe they're kind of good looking. I don't know. I find average women that I just see in the grocery store or whatever look, you know, better looking than that.
But it is brutal watching women try to become the shape of 6'2" men. It's really
it's a big
no problem. Fun.
Yeah, with no meat on their bones. Like, what the hell?
And you know, my daughter, who's a clinical psychologist, she has to deal with these young girls with anorexia.
What does she think of this then?
Well, she is completely not for the prayer model at all.
No, no. What does she think of the trannies, though? Does she think that's...
I haven't even got to that point with her. She knows that I think that way. But she, her view is that I am simply disparaging successful women because I'm East in some way, some kind of East.
It's kind of a masculine archetype. You don't get much more masculine than that. And Tarzan is played by Alexander Skarsgård. He will achieve levels of fame that few have attained.
Watch a bit of Mr. E. This just came out 11 hours ago. So since we're on the topic, I thought we'd throw this in.
In this realm. Why do I say that? It's because he has performed the initiation ritual, and here it is right here. Performing in drag on Saturday Night Live is an ancient tradition, an initiation ritual into the next stage of stardom. It's kind of like a baptism in the mystery religions. Acting is really people pretending to be someone else, and they dress in costumes. So it kind of makes sense that a lot of these people would be gender benders, because it's just an extension of what they're already doing. Everyone's pretending to be someone else, and it's basically fictional stories. They're playing a character. They're dressing in costumes. So a man dressing up like a woman is just a man playing a role, playing a character. And the actor's job is to kind of forget who they are and to be someone else. And they become the character that they're portraying. And over the years, what happened is that the actors just remained in drag all the time. The celebrities are the modern-day statues in the Western world. Celebrities are worshipped as gods. So, SNL drag kings, 13 dudes who dominated as famous ladies. David Spade, he's kind of funny, isn't he? Well, I would say this is an initiation ritual. You know, he's got to bend the knee. Kenan Thompson. Now, this looks like a bunch of senators. Fred Armisen as Penny Marshall. Again, Julia Child, you know, man or woman. Tracy Morgan as Maya Angelou. Again, a lot of politicians look like this. Chris Farley, Seth Meyers as Nicolette Sheridan. Yeah, that's pretty sick. I don't know who these people are. John Goodman as Linda Tripp. Even Andy Samberg has to dress up in drag. It's something they got to do. Oh, even Chris Rock has bent the knee. David Chappelle, he refused to do this stuff. And then they replaced him. Phil Hartman as Barbara. They both look like dudes, as far as I can tell. So in a way, they're kind of just telling you what's really going on. Oh, there's Will Ferrell as Janet Reno. Again, looking very similar, actually. Like, which one is which? Which one is the man in drag? However, Will Ferrell says that he would not choose to dress in drag for laughs on Saturday Night Live today. I thought Will Ferrell was going to say he doesn't want to dress in drag because it's an insane thing to do. But what they're saying is it's offensive to this community. It has a new letter every time I see it. I thought maybe somebody knocked some sense into this guy, but I was wrong. Wishful thinking on my part. In the skits, he would don a wig, lipstick, fake breasts, and a dress. Ah.
All right, so that is Mr. E. That's his latest. I strongly suggest you watch it. I'll put it in the show notes. Talking about Tarzan. What do you think of that, guys?
I got something to say about that. I think there are trannies, like, you know, guys pretending to be girls and vice versa. But I think there's also another thing going on where they're putting all kinds of chemicals in the food and microplastics and all that stuff where they feminize men to these estrogen generating, you know, byproducts or whatever. And, you know, they're not, it's not always like a guy pretending to be a girl. Like sometimes the guy just has print that are kind of feminine, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think there is
they're,
normal.
They're doing that to the whole population. Like, I think that's part of why the population is lowering. Guys are becoming more effeminate, and women are becoming more masculine. I think they're purposely poisoning people through food and exposure to these microplastics and other things that. You know, of course, there are like weirdos that you know, a guy dresses up like a girl, but I don't know. I don't know if it's always the case.
Okay. Well, Mr. E makes a strong argument that it mostly is.
For the celebrity, yeah. I wouldn't doubt that.
There was, Frank, tell me what you think of this. There's this TV show called The Fall Guy with Lee Majors in the early 80s.
Yeah, I watched it.
He was, okay, go back and watch the original episode, the first episode. In that episode, at the end of the episode, he performs a stunt in a car where he crashes into a pile of watermelons and he flies through the windshield and he's dressed like a woman and he lands at the feet of Farrah Fawcett and her feet are big as flippers.
Yeah.
Well, the other one that's like the other one that's like that was the one that was in Mermaid or Splash.
Daryl Hannah.
Hannah. Who is it?
Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah. And they even called it
Daryl's a man's name, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly a man's name, yeah.
Why would they have to dress like a woman and perform that stunt in the very first episode at the end?
It's the initiation ceremony.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. That fella I was telling you about, he used to watch movies in the 90s all the time, and he'd tell me about them. And he would talk about these, like you said, initiations of different rituals, different things that are performed on scenes that have these occultic purposes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I thought when I saw it. I said, that's an initiation rite he just performed before our eyes.
One of the things that Rick talks about is, you know, when they produce a record, they then will, you know, go and perform some crazy ceremony about the record. And while they record, have you heard all this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to hear it. Can you explain it?
Okay. So the idea is that the, while they're doing the mixing and, you know, et cetera of the record, they have some very elaborate, rituals that they perform to invoke.
Oh, like the satanic stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But
also to invoke the spiritual demonic influence into the music itself, to, you know, whatever it is they do to the frequencies and so on that 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 creates the effect on the mind that they want it to affect.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about it. This fellow told me about, if you remember, like, George Clooney and Winona Ryder, there's certain actors and actresses, when you see them on the screen, they have, like, a charisma about them. You know, you look at it, seems to be charisma is the word. And he said that these people are charged, he called it, you know, with these energies. It's sort of they call it theurgic magic in masonry, where these symbols are charged and they affect us psychologically and spiritually when we perceive them. You know, that's just a variation. You talked with music and he talked about the screen having that.
Yeah.
There's a fellow named James Lloyd in the early 90s that was a minister. He made a tape called Secret Sixes, where he talked about at the beginning of movies, they'll have triple sixes in different formats, and you will never watch another old movie again or after you've seen this, because you'll pick up on it. And he says that they put the sixes in the beginning of these movies in order to bless them, to have the same effect you just described with the music. It's a form of a blessing.
Yeah.
It would be something like, you know, how the exposition starts at the beginning, and they'll say, you know, your dad's coming home. How long has he been gone? 6 months. Oh, really? 6 months? Yeah. What time is he going to be here? 6 o'clock, you know, like that.
And they six.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the beginning, officer and gentleman, Richard Gere stretched out. In the background is a ship, like a destroyer, and it has the number 36 on it. You know, and 18 is like
that. Yeah, they love their numbers. Yeah.
Well, they love it. Just 53. Yeah, just like you guys talk about.
Hey, I got one more thing about, you brought up Daryl Hannah. So she's in Blade Runner. And,
yes.
The love interest in that, Harrison Ford's love interest, his name is Sean Young. So it's a female Sean named Young, Sean. Yeah. Never heard of a female named Sean before. But then she's also, if you ever seen the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yes.
The whole premise of it is like it's a crime committed by a ex-football player, male football player, disguised as a woman. And that, you know, the ending, he whips off her clothes and you see a ball sack or something. I don't know. You know, I can't believe my parents let me watch this bullshit when I was a kid. But yeah, it's like a trend. It's like, man, it's all, you're connecting the dots here, man. Holy cow. Hollywood is a freaking cesspool. I mean, well, even more than well,
that. It's called Hollywood. It's a magic wand. That's what it's for.
Oh, no. It's Hollywood wood. Oh, no.
Yeah, the magic wood. Yeah.
Go to YouTube and put in Daryl Hannah and Julie Roberts and David Letterman and watch that little segment. And
I have to be rude about Julia Roberts. Her mouth is so wide, I'm sure she could eat, you know, an elephant whole, couldn't she? I've never seen such a mouth. I just cannot believe that's human.
Well, I think she's possibly inverted as well. Hey Frank, we're up at the hour mark.
I've got to do a hard exit. Thank you.
I'm helping you out,
and I'm leaving right now. Bye.
Bye bye, Frank. See you later. And I'm gonna have to wrap. Frank. I gotta wrap it up, guys. Not to be rude, but I think we're gonna try and stick to an hour, just because.
Well, it's been fun. Thanks for taking my call.
No, thank you, Willard. Thanks for being a regular caller in. I appreciate it. Stay warm down there in Florida.
Will do.
And I think Lucas is down there somewhere, aren't you?
I'm in the Midwest, but yeah, it's kind of cold here still. But anyway, good night, fellas.
I thought you were in Florida for some reason. So you're freezing.
Not today.
So you're freezing up in this area as well in the north.
Pretty chilly. But anyway, have a good night, Tim.
All right. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Willard. Thank you, Frank. And thanks, everyone, for joining in. Pretty good audience tonight. Sorry we didn't have Tim Osmond, but he emailed me at the last minute, as he usually does, and said he's working. So we moved him to Tuesday. I really like Tim Osmond on the show. So we've accommodated him. So he's now Tuesdays. Fake Nukes Phil is Wednesdays with Rizzoli. And Thursday is Linertel. So thanks, everyone, for joining in. And fakeologist.com/donate if you want to send a few bucks. Thanks to Boris. Thanks to Kim K. And the very few people that pitch in to exchange value for value. We put up an 8-hour audio chat from Sunday. All of it is in your favorite podcast app at... Just search for Fakeologist and you'll find two different feeds. So you can check that out. Or just go to the blog, fakeologist.blog, and you will find all the audios on there. I noticed that it doesn't look right, the formatting, so I'm going to have to fix that when I move Fakeologist, because I'm moving it to another server. So hopefully that will not take too long. But we're going to work on that in the next few days, even though I've said I've been supposed to do that for the last couple of months, but I've just been holding it off. But now we have a hard deadline at the end of the month, so we have to do it, because I'm not paying the ransom that a lot of these web hosts charge at the end of the year. They jack it up 4, 5, 10 times sometimes. Anyway, thanks everyone for joining in, and we will see you tomorrow with Tim Osmond, hopefully. Take care.